We are continuing to talk about the one subject, which really, in my opinion, is the only subject I ever talk about, and that's prosperity. Because in some way, what we all want are the four elements of prosperity. And typically when someone comes to me for counseling or anything like that, or coaching, it's these four areas. So I want to remind you what the four areas of prosperity are. Mary's going to click through them. Read it out loud for me, please.
Prosperity
is a vitally alive physical body to provide a comfortable worldly home for the spiritual beings that we are. Number two, prosperity is relationships that are satisfying, nurturing, honest, and work all the time. Prosperity is work that we love so much, it's not work, it's play. And number four, all the money you can spend. Now, who wants that? Raise your hand. The answer is, if you're not raising your hand, you're lying. Because that's really, in my opinion, that's what everybody wants. They come to me because they've got relationship problems, or they've got money problems, or they've got health problems. Think about it. Everything in your life pretty much falls under those four categories. So how do we get to this magical, epiphanal place where everything works? Oh, it's real simple. Anybody remember? What's the first thing I said we need to do?
Tithe.
Tithe. Bless you. Say it with pride. Tithe. Tithe. What is tithing? Great. Bingo. Exactly. You're all saying it. These are not rhetorical questions. I just want you to hear it. It is not stroking a check and giving it to a church. Yes, we're a 501c3, but if you're just mindlessly giving to any church, you're not tithing. And I want to say that on camera. If you are mindlessly giving to any church, and you ministers out there who are freaking out over me saying it, if you will relax and let your people just give to where they feel spiritually blessed, your ministry will explode with abundance. That's the truth. Give to where you are spiritually fed. Who, what, or where feeds your spirit? What is spiritual food? It's somebody that reminds you that God is good and that you're good and that we're all connected and that everything's okay. And it can be anybody. So number one, we tithe. What's the second thing, which is equally as easy as tithing? Bingo. Beautiful, Mike. Way to go. Forgive. Everybody's like, well, let's skip right over that one. Seriously, if you are carrying negative, how dare they do that energy about anybody or anything in your life, you are not, cannot be a prosperous person. I listen to people's stories almost for a living. I know your stories. I know you've been hurt. I know you've been betrayed. I know you've been lied to. I have too. You take it and you make something out of it, or you use it as an excuse for the rest of your life. You're the one that's got to get over it and do something good with it. So we tithe, we forgive, and last week I talked about what? Bingo. Not complaining. Edwin Gaines was the one who came up with the idea of not complaining, going 21 consecutive days without complaining. That wasn't me. Even though you ask anybody on the planet, they'll tell you it's me. It's because I did a talk on her book. I handed out the complaint-free bracelet, which then caught off like it's a good thing I speak for a living. Wildfire. And we've sent almost 11 million around the world. So before we even go any further, and I mean this sincerely, okay? And it's okay, and I don't want you to answer to anybody but me. I've asked you to tithe. I've asked you to forgive. And I've asked you to not complain. Honestly ask yourself, number one, how well you're doing in all those areas of your life. And number two, consider if that's what it takes to be prosperous, why so damn few people are prosperous? And yet, can you forgive? Yes or no? Is it humanly, physically possible for you to forgive? Yes. Is it humanly, physically possible for you to tithe? Yes. Is it humanly, physically possible for you to stop complaining? Is it humanly, physically possible, therefore, for you to become a prosperous person in every way, shape, and form? Do you want to end your life and look back and say, wow, man, I managed to avoid taking any risks or really struggling or anything at all? Or do you want to look back and go, I nailed it. It was awesome. I can't wait to go again. I swear that's how I want to end my life, and I hope you do too. Most people are just trying to sneak by. Earl Nightingale said, most people are shuffling through life trying to make it safely to death. That's crazy. We got to live. And so now I've given you three things, and I'm going to give you a fourth thing today, and I'm going to ask you when I'm done if it's humanly, physically possible for you to do this. Go ahead with the next. This is it. Please read this out loud. You must seek, discover, and follow your divine purpose. Everybody has one. I am 100% convinced of that. What kind of purpose?
Divine.
What kind of purpose?
Divine.
We need your purpose. The problems in the world are because people are not giving their purpose to the world. They're holding it back because they think they need a J-O-B. You know what J-O-B stands for, right? Just over broke. That's the way you're going to be for the rest of your life until you what? Seek, say it. Seek, discover, and follow your divine purpose. It's divine. It's in you. I read a lot, and I was reading the other day, and it just always strikes me that how Mother Nature... You know, my joke about God wins. Mother Nature knows what she's doing. Without us getting involved in fertility and everything else, do you know that human beings will always reproduce at exactly 51% male and 49% female? Always. I read this and I was like, thank God. I mean, personally, when I was a teenager, I wanted to wake up and there'd be nothing but girls, but it's not good for the planet. Nature knows. When you came into the world, nature knew. And I'm speaking to you hoping, I don't know whose spark I'm going to ignite this morning, but I want to ignite somebody's spark because every one of you've got one. The world needs it, and you'll never be happy till you get it. And what happens is most people like me who seem to have already figured out and got it tell you, and then you go, I could never do that. I know that because I sat exactly, not on the floor, but in a church and in seminars and everything else with people telling me that. But to find it, I had to what? Seek, discover, and follow. I'll tell you my story, and then with her permission, I'll tell you Marty's, because I honestly think we're pretty good examples of this. I was 33 years old. I'm 55 now. I was 33 years old. My first wife, Lisa, left me out of the blue, just broke my heart, devastated me. I didn't eat for over a week. They thought they were going to have to hospitalize me. I got a job working at a radio station in Charlotte, North Carolina, selling radio. I had always sold radio advertising. I loved radio, and I was always the top salesman. They hired me. I did really well. In fact, they were going to promote me to sales manager, but there was another woman who's kind of a legend in the industry, and I really admire her. And they hired her instead. Well, because we were both vying for the sales manager position, what do you think was one of the first things she did when she got hired? She let me go, okay? Dead broke, broken heart, okay? No job, had no idea what I was going to do. I was collecting unemployment. And something inside of me said, go find yourself. This is 1993. So I was living in Charlotte, North Carolina. I drove to Wilmington, North Carolina, which is on the coast. And then I camped all the way up the coast for 9 weeks by myself to Halifax, Nova Scotia, living off unemployment. I swear I was looking for work the whole time. No, you know what? I was looking for myself, and I've paid so much taxes since then that the government should be real damn glad I borrowed a little bit. Because I spent 9 weeks, and one day I realized, honestly, friends, I had no idea what I wanted to do in my life. I was 33 years old, and I had no idea. None. We're not trained to really ask that. When you're a kid, you're asked that. What do you want to be when you grow up? A lot bigger. Okay, you know, what else? A fireman. We don't ask adults that, and you should already know that for crying out loud. Most of us don't know. So I literally made a list of everything, every job I hated. that I had ever had and what I hated about them. Do this. I'm not telling you this is a bad thing. It's a good thing. I was a bingo caller. I kid you not. I hated it. I made pizzas. Good God, what else have I done? Well, I've been on the radio as a nightclub DJ. I did that for years. I beat mixed music in nightclubs. I did that for a long time. I was a wedding DJ. And I made this list and I said, God, I don't know what to do. And I was camping in North Conway, New Hampshire. And I asked to be put in a campsite as far away from everybody else as possible. I didn't want to see anybody. I wanted a week with God, and God better show up is how I felt. So they put me down by the river, and I was camping, and I fasted for an entire week. I drank nothing but diluted fruit juice. It was the first time I've ever done anything like this. But I was still running, too. I was running like 3 or 4 miles a day. So I'd get up and I'd run. And I came back to my campsite, and I narrowed it down. I said, okay, God, I think there's 3 things that I could do and I would enjoy. I can tell you this. I did character voices on the radio for years, too. I did that on a number of radio stations. I was the crazy guy that would call in with the crazy accent. That was me. I did that for a long time. And I said, well, I can go back on the air and do that and make a living because, you know, you can just call in different stations, tell the same joke, and get paid. I could start an ad agency because I've always enjoyed advertising. Or I could go into the ministry. That was so far down on the list, and yet it always felt like something that I had to say. So I put it on there just to appease God. I really did. I put it on the list. So I made myself some herbal tea, and I had strung this hammock up by the river. And I sat down, and I was sitting there and I was thinking about this. And I'd been there, this was the 5th of 7 days in that campsite. No one had come in to my campsite. I hadn't seen anybody in 5 days. And this elderly couple walked, I mean, not into my sight, not like, hello, from a distance. They walked right up to me in my tent, in my hammock, like this was their place. And the woman said, are you a minister? This is a true, I'm not embellishing this, true story. And I said, no. And she looked at her husband and they both smiled at each other. And they said, that's funny. We were sure you were a minister. And they walked away. I didn't want to be a minister. I had made $106,000 the year before. The average median income for a minister was 27. Thank you very much. I'd looked that up. And atypically, ministers have to leave their churches every 7 years. It's about every 7 years. I don't want to do that. And besides, who's going to tell me any good jokes if I'm a minister? And who's going to laugh at my good jokes? And then I decided that I got to define what minister was. Took me 10 years to get all my requisite training. I had to go through 2 years of advanced Bible study. I have a lot of Bible under me. I studied a lot of Bible. I then went off for 2 years of ministerial school. And that whole time, I was going out and speaking at churches. And I was speaking every weekend just to improve, to get my chops built, as musicians said, you know? There was one church I convinced them the entire time I was in ministerial school after the first year, the last year and a half. I said, let me speak only here. I want this to be like my church. I said, so I can, and they're like, that would be great, because they got tired of hiring different ministerial students. And I went down to the Unity Church in Sedalia, Missouri. And in a year and a half, I built that church from 6 people to 6 people. But I did it every week. You know why? I freaking love it. I love what I do. I love writing. I love traveling. I love speaking. And I've done it now for what Malcolm Gladwell calls the magic 10,000 hours. When you've done something for 10,000 hours, you become a world expert at it. I'm a very highly paid international speaker now, and I still consider myself a minister. Marty and I are going to, I'm actually been hired to go and do a speech, 2 speeches, at a yoga retreat on the beach in Bali in October. It's a month-long retreat. We can stay as long as we want. I'm telling you this because the universe wants to give you cool stuff like that too. But you work in a J-O-B. Let me tell you Marty's story. My beautiful Marty was a deputy juvenile officer here in Johnson County for 20 years, and she was one of the best in the county. She was an advocate for kids. The fact that her first language is Spanish made her completely invaluable. She actually wrote a manual that was used for working with bilingual people that was the state actually employed. She and a friend actually did that. She got a citation from the state. She was very happy in her job, or so she thought, until she realized that maybe everybody does have a calling. But she didn't believe that she had one. She'd been running, she'd been lifting weights, she'd been doing yoga, but Marty had no idea what her calling was. And then one day in yoga, in Shavasana, because she was, what does it say? Do what's the first thing? Seek, discover. She was asking God what her divine purpose was. And Lakshmi, who is a Hindu goddess, appeared to Marty and said, "You are to teach yoga." Are you kidding me? I make a very good living. I'm one of the same thing you're going to come up with, the same thing I came up with. And the other thing is, you'll probably struggle like crazy, just like both of us did. But could you ever be really prosperous if ultimately you're working for doing something you know you don't love? As Wayne Dyer says, climbing the ladder of success, only discover it's leaned up against the wrong wall. So you know what Marty started to do? She went and approached, was it Gold's Gym you started or St. Luke's Hospital? Gold's Gym. She walked in, said she wanted to teach yoga. And they said yes. And she started out with three or four people. And then she went and taught elsewhere. And she does what she calls yoga hustling. She said, "I'm the original yoga hustler. I would go to every church, every civic center, every group and say, would you like a yoga teacher? And if they said yes, I'd put them on the schedule." And she was running everywhere. And Marty and I have been together for 5 years. And the other day there was 51 people in one class while there was 23 in another class. For those of you who don't know, I go to yoga studios all over the world. That don't happen. Do you know why that happens? Because when there was three people, Marty gave it 150%. And she would come home to me telling me how much she loved the class. And it doesn't matter if there's 50 people or five, she loves it. She loves it and she lives it. And after yoga, there's always
more yoga.
More yoga. Because when she comes home, she will do more yoga. And she will read about yoga. And she will call Star and they will talk about yoga. Meanwhile, I'm over in the corner reading books on how the Bible was written and discovering spiritual personal development, which is my absolute passion. And you've got one too. It can seem silly, but you've got one. What's sillier than yoga? What's sillier than movies? What's silly? And there is not a job on the, there's not a thing you can like that somebody is not getting paid for. I said that one time, and somebody came up to me and thought they had me. This was in a speech several years ago. Somebody came up and thought, "Oh, I got you. Yeah. I want to just lie around. I want to not move." I said, "You mean seriously, not move your body and get paid?" And he said, "Yes." And I said, "Congratulations, I want you to call the producers of CSI because there are people who all they do is play dead bodies, friends. They're crappy actors and want to be on television. Whatever it is, you can make as much money as you want, and it doesn't matter how much money. You sit back and you looked at the end of your life and went, I was what I was supposed to be, instead of what everybody else wanted me to be." And you know what? When you make that decision, everybody's not going to... When I said I was going to be a minister, people think a lot of things when they think minister, and none of them were me. And my whole family, are you crazy? Marty's family. You still do it because it's who you are. It's what the world wants,
And it's the only way to be prosperous. You got one. Seek it, discover it, and live it. Take somebody's hand. Let's close in prayer. Infinite Spirit, we celebrate your intelligence that right now in this world, these people are all needed to do their thing to contribute to everyone else. I think you knew what you were doing. Thank you, God. And thank you, God, that we can choose, that we live in a day and time when we can choose. We don't have to take any job. We live in a day and time and culture when we truly can do anything. And it's up to us to make that decision and to keep that flame burning. Thank you, God. And so it is. Amen. Thank you for listening. I hope you find this to be a blessing in your life. If you do, be sure and podcast these broadcasts. That is, set your device, your phone, your iPad, your computer to automatically receive these. You can do it through iTunes or you can do it through podbean.com. Go to willbowen.podbean.com and subscribe. Have a great week. I look forward to talking to you real soon. You can connect with me at will@willbowen.com. Have a great day. Bye-bye.